Our scripture readings today are Acts 9:36-42 and John 10:22-30. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying, and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all about of the, sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. John 10:22-30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking on Solomon's column. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." May God bless the reading of these words.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the grown-ups who took an interest in us, who listened or bandaged a scrape or taught us to read or to do our math or just listened to our latest crisis. We thank you for those who fed us with food and with love, who thought we were important gifts for the world and invested time in us. Might we be those grown-ups today so that in the future, some of today's youngsters will say thank you for us. Amen. Today's scriptures are odd scriptures for Mother's Day. And so I'm going to take a little different, I want to strike a little different path than, you know, the normal Mother's Day sermon. And you can ride me out of town on a rail if you so desire afterward. But, you know, sometimes the words that we use and the sounds that we hear speak to us and gather our attention. You know, the call of a cardinal high in the tree when I'm walking and I know they're going to be sitting right on the top always catches my attention. Or the blare of a horn or a siren screaming makes me bring my head up and look to see what's going on around me. And the laughter of children at play always makes me stop and smile, chuckle a little bit, remember a little bit. There's just so many sounds and words around us, but you know, there is one when I was growing up that I could recognize at 40 paces. It could be behind a wall or an aisle, in another aisle, or behind a door. But there's a voice you always recognize. That's your mother's voice. And quite often my mother's voice was doing the dreaded three-name thing. Carol Lee Holshue. And when you heard that dreaded three names, it wasn't comforting. It was always said with annoyance or worse, and you know, you knew there was not going to be any dilly-dallying going on. You were going to offer yourself up pretty darn quickly. because whatever it was going to get worse if you didn't. Do you ever wonder if Mary ever had to call Jesus by three names? We never get told what his three names might have been. But I have to believe that Mary was a mother, Jesus was a child. There had to be three name days for Jesus. Maybe he was perfect. But he was a kid, come on. Even perfect kids like me got three name days. And the Bible doesn't say that God used three names for Moses or for Jonah, but you know, they both went, yeah, God, I don't think I can do this. I'm going to go this way. And God had to grab them by the earlobe and pull them back into what God wanted them to do. Did God use all three of their names to get their attention? Well, how did God get their attention? See, when I'm pondering things, I ponder strange things. But as we celebrate mothers and grandmothers and aunts and special women in our lives today, I think it's important that, you know, we widen that group a little bit to adults who loved us, grown-ups who loved us, because not everybody comes from a traditional mother-father household. And not everybody had good mothers or good fathers. Somebody else always filled the void. And you know, for Jesus, God was his steadying presence. And he calls God, the first thing we hear him call God is Abba. And in Aramaic, that word is used to express both intimacy and an obedient heart. So you're saying to that grown-up, I'm here, I'm your obedient child. We often translate it to father, and it can also be used that way. Aramaic and Hebrew are interesting languages. Context is everything on those words. So how they're used is what they actually mean, which is unusual for those of us who speak English to think about. So it's an intimacy. It's an obedience. It's a father. It's a parent. And being able to say Abba gave him a sense of well-being. It provided some security for his spiritual soul. But in his human form, he also required a grown-up. And I'm sure he had several, but Mary was there when he was born. Mary was there when he went to the cross. And Mary was then the group that went to the tomb. She was his human rock. God was his spiritual rock. And in the scripture from Acts today that Kathy read, we heard a story about Peter and Peter's arriving in Joppa to find Tabitha dead in the upper room, prepared for burial. And she'd been a great disciple. She'd helped the poor. She was always giving. She was always, you know, picking up the lost kid on the street and adopting him and helping him. And when Peter heard of her illness, he prayed in that room, and the Holy Spirit joined him in love, and Tabitha was resurrected. And that's what I call grown-ups who care. Peter cared. Tabitha cared. And the words that we can use to describe it are pretty good, but there's always... everything has so many facets to it. You think of all the colors of a beautiful diamond. And as we live in the world, everything we do has facets. It makes it more complicated. And in John, we see Jesus claim his voice and claim his ability to heal. And he claims these abilities because he believes in hesed. Hesed is a Hebrew word. So remembering again, contextual, it has a lot of meanings, but it means that Jesus wrapped himself in the positive attributes of God. Love, covenant, faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. Wrapping himself up in the love of God, the loyalty of God, the mercy of God. Hesed. Wrapping yourself in the love and mercy, faithfulness, grace, and kindness. That's what grown-ups can do, that love us and love children and love one another. Even when we want to disown that child. I don't know about you, but there are days I'd have given mine up to the highest bidder or buried her in a hole in the backyard. But I didn't. I didn't because at the same time, I didn't like her a lot. I loved her. And I would pray for her safety. And I would kneel and ask for God's protection for her. And I would sleep on the floor by her sickbed. You see, we try to use our language to express the steadiness of God in our life, the caring of Christ, the mystery of the Holy Spirit, and yet we always fall short. Rather than three names for me, we use three names for the Trinity. But even with three names, it's kind of hard sometimes to fully describe what it is we're trying to get across. So in the past 20 years, we've tried to broaden the terms for the Trinity so they better fit the situation. So they are a little more multifaceted, so they cover a little bit greater territory, like hesed. Love is being extended, and so we want to make sure that the names we use can provide an underpinning for that concept. And so we often use words together in groups or triads. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. That's the triad. Sometimes you hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sometimes now you'll hear Creator, Savior, Sanctifier, Rock, Redeemer, Friend, King of Glory, Prince of Peace, Spirit of Love, One who was, the One who is, and the One who is to come. It's a lot to think about on a day about flowers and Mother's Day, isn't it? I should have forewarned you. But I think you can think of it pretty easily as God as the giver, Jesus as the gift, and the Holy Spirit as the binding agent of the giver and the gift. Still pretty hard to describe. There's still so many facets to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Even those who wrote the Bible struggled. They used many names. So think about how immense words are. Think about how God's love is. Hard, so hard to describe. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to paint in a picture. It's hard to write in a poem. And the love of a parent or a grown-up is the same. We kind of saw it in the video. It's just hard to describe. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to paint about. It's hard to write about. It's hard to explain. It's hard to talk about what all the facets are. And we live because we carry that love with us. We carry it and we share it with others. And it is the essence of the light that shines from us. I think as a parent, I'd be hard-pressed to explain in detail what makes the love I have for my child different than any other love that I've ever felt. It's immense. It's indescribable. It challenges me to share it. Our parents love us, but we can't describe that either. God loves each of us. And there's hundreds of poems and millions of pictures, and everybody that's tried to describe it struggles. And so I challenge you on this day that you're about to embark on, just tell those you love how important they are, or say a prayer of gratitude for those who have gone on to glory. Just thank them. Just be grateful they were part of what manifested the light of who you are. You're all wonderful people. You have wonderful lights. You share lots of love. Let you please continue doing that. And remember, the greatest commandment is that we love one another. So whether you can describe it, whether you know which three words to use, whether you answer to those three words, whether you just shirk back when you hear all three names, it's about the love and the love that you share going forward with everyone you meet. That's what those grown-ups that loved you did for you. They filled all the oil in your lamp. So just let it shine. Amen.